Let's quiet our hearts and center our spirits as we turn to God's word from Matthew. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we tune our hearts to you. We are here with one another because you've called us here, and because we love one another. But we're here ultimately because you love us. So now as we sit at your word, help us to receive your love. A love that sometimes challenges us and confronts us, but ultimately a love that comforts us and changes us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We all want to be seen. Not necessarily by everyone or all the time. That's a little creepy. But we all have a deep desire to be seen. So imagine the daughter who has been working on her Lego creation or a drawing or something she's made with her hands. And you can imagine her finishing up and saying, "Daddy, look." You can imagine that, right? Yes, she wants her dad to look at what she has made. But really what she wants is for her dad to look at her. The same can be said about the high school student who is applying to college. He studies hard, stays home to work on his applications, writes, and then rewrites his essays. Why? Because he wants to stand out. He wants to be accepted. He wants to be seen. Or your supervisor calls you in for a meeting, and there tells you that she's been impressed at how good a job you've been doing. In fact, she lists several examples of how you've been a team player, how you've put in the extra effort, how you've communicated well with everyone who needs to know. And then she tells you, that's why you're getting a raise. Now, the money is nice, but really what's satisfying is that you were noticed. You were appreciated. You were seen. A handwritten card unexpectedly shows up in your mail, and the return address is that of your adult son. You open the envelope to find several pages of him expressing deep gratitude for the childhood you have given him. He recounts story after story that you didn't think he was paying attention to, but he was, of the ways that you have sacrificed for him, or been patient with him, or been a role model for him. And you can't help but feel that it was all worth it because of the appreciation, the gratitude, the being seen. We all want to be seen. This fall, our sermon series has been taking us through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we've said the overarching thesis for his sermon is that we are to become the person of the Beatitudes in response to the blessing of God in order to be light to the world. Right? You've heard that so many times. It's a nice three-point sermon. You can remember the points. That's his overarching thesis. And for the past many weeks, we have been saying a lot about that first main point, right? The first main point of becoming like the person of the Beatitudes. What does that even mean? Now today, and over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at his second point. We're going to be focusing on what does it mean to live in response to the blessing of God. In response to the blessing of God. Now, in the same way that Jesus defined his terms for the first point, Jesus is going to define his terms for the second point. What is this blessing? Well, if you remember from way back in September, we started talking about this, And we said that blessing, according to the scriptures, is ultimately about approval. Blessing is about approval. When God blesses us, he says things like, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Or, "You are my beloved in whom I am well pleased." Or, "Let my face shine upon you." Right? These are the words of blessing that we read in Scripture. They are words of approval. And remember, we all want to be seen, right? Not necessarily by everyone or all the time, but we all have this deep desire to be seen. We have a deep desire for God's blessing. So how does having his blessing and approval help us to become like that first main point? How does it help us to become like the person of the Beatitudes? Well, it is always the case that we will be shaped into the kind of person that someone we care about blesses. We will always be shaped into the kind of person that someone we care about blesses. So think about that person whose opinion of you you really care about. Now, you may push against them, you may want to individuate against them, but you still care about their opinion. Then think about the kind of person that they bless, that they approve of. That's the kind of person you're becoming. In one way or another, that's the kind of person you are becoming. According to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the kind of person that God blesses is the person of the Beatitudes. And so if we care about God's blessing, if we value being seen by him more than anyone else, then what will happen? We will be deeply motivated to become like the person of the Beatitudes. But here's the problem. We don't always value God's blessing. Right? We don't always value being seen by him. Sometimes, if we're honest, we value being seen by others more. In our text today, Jesus acknowledges this problem. He knows the human heart, and then he directly addresses it in verse 1. He says, "Beware. Beware. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Why? For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Jesus is saying, beware of wanting to be seen by other people when who you really want to be seen by, who you really should be wanting to be seen by, is God. So 2 points this morning. First, what to beware, and then second, why to beware it. What and why. We'll start with what to beware. What? Okay, so there's nothing wrong with the daughter wanting her dad to see what she's made or to see her, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong if that daughter gets her dad's attention for the purpose of making her brother jealous. Just hypothetically. "Look, dad, look, brother, dad likes what I made more." And in that situation, the daughter's only pretending to want her father's attention, when really the person she wants to be looking at her is her brother. "Look, dad likes what I made more." Same with a high school student applying to college. There's nothing wrong with wanting multiple admissions departments to accept him. But there is something wrong if he uses his number of applications as bragging rights with his classmates. "Oh, sorry, I can't hang out with you guys right now. I have so many applications to finish." In that moment, caring about getting into college is only pretend. Because in that moment, who the student really wants to be looking at him isn't all those college admissions departments, but his classmates. There's nothing wrong with being encouraged by a positive performance review from your supervisor or an appreciative letter from an adult child. There's nothing wrong with any of those. Those are all. The desire to be seen is a good desire. But be aware. Be aware of whom you really want to be seen by. And beware that you're not pretending. Beware that you're not pretending. Pretenders are people who act like they want to be seen by somebody when really they want to be seen by somebody else. Jesus has a word for people like that. He calls them hypocrites. Hypocrites. Verse 2, the hypocrite is someone who gives to the needy in order to be praised by others. Verse 5, the hypocrite is someone who stands in prayer, but in order to stand out to people. In verse 16, the hypocrite is someone who fasts, but in order to be seen by people. Here are the common elements of all three of these scenarios. In each scenario, the practice that Jesus is talking about is a spiritual discipline. It's giving to the needy, it's praying, it's fasting. And so presumably each of these practices is meant to be done for the sake of God, right? They're spiritual disciplines. But the problem comes when the hypocrite practices their righteousness, another way of saying practices their spiritual disciplines, pretending like they want God to see it, but in actuality, who they really want to see it is other people. Now, if you dig deep into the text, you'll see this, but I just want to make it clear. Jesus' problem is not that we practice these spiritual disciplines. He is not saying, well, then don't pray, because you might be doing it for the wrong reasons. He doesn't say, don't fast, because you might be doing it for the wrong reasons. He says, no, when you pray, when you fast, when you give to the needy, verse 3, verse 6, verse 17, he assumes we're still doing all these things. He's not advocating for an analysis paralysis. Oh, no, I might be doing this for the wrong reasons, so I shouldn't do it. No, do it still, but check your reasons. Jesus' problem is also not necessarily with doing these things in a place where other people might see. He's not saying, don't come together for worship. Just stay home so you don't have to worry about showing off. He's not saying that. Earlier in his Sermon on the Mount, he says, let your light shine. Where? Under a bushel? No. Okay. Let your light shine before others. Why? So that they may see your good works. It's not a problem to do these things in public if your reason is to give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And the book of Acts, the early church understood it this way. You see Christians praying publicly for others to hear. You see Christians giving to the needy and fasting in a way that's recognized by others. None of these were problematic simply for happening in public. Jesus is not saying we can't do these things in public. But what can be problematic is our intention, is our hearts, is why are we doing these things in public? Is it for God? Or are you only pretending to want God to see? And really what you want is for people to see. Now I confess, I am in a position to be the chief of sinners here. But Jesus is not speaking to religious hypocrites like me. He's speaking to all of us, all of you, people listening to him. And me. Perhaps now you're thinking that our time together here every Sunday morning can be a risky place, right? Because we are doing all sorts of spiritual disciplines together in a public place. We are praying, we are singing, we are giving, and also to those in need through the benevolence collection. And while Sundays are never a fast day, it's always a feast day, even in Lent, we're still around each other, right? And we're still asking each other questions about how our week has been. And so temptations abound for us to look gloomy and otherwise present ourselves in a very spiritual or very good kind of way, right? But the solution, like I've said, is not that the preacher stops preaching or that the worship team stops singing or that the presiders stop praying or that you all just ignore each other and run home after the benediction. That is not the solution. That would get in the way of us helping one another, exhorting one another, encouraging one another to give glory to God, which is called for in the scriptures. It would also get in the way of us loving one another the ways God has called us to. And so the solution then, at least one side of it, is that we're still to come together for worship, still do the things we do, but check our hearts. Check our hearts. During the time of confession, during the time of offering, during the time of communion, maybe even now, during this time of listening to this sermon, ask yourself questions. Questions like this one. Am I practicing my disciplines? Am I praying? Listening to the scriptures? Offering my life? Am I doing these things as much, if not more so, in secret and private as I am publicly? Another question might be, when I am in public, whom am I here to be seen by? Is my attention on God, or is my intention on who's looking at me, and what are they noticing about what I'm doing? Those are hard questions to ask, but they are the questions that Jesus wants us to ask. To all of that, Jesus says, beware. Don't be a pretender. Don't be a pretender. So that's what to beware. That's the first point. Now the second, why? Why to beware? Why should we beware being a pretender? Well, I recently read about a guy who wanted to test a theory. And he tested this theory by posting a photo on his social media account of him proposing a wedding proposal to a complete stranger. And it was your classic, you know, wedding proposal photo. He was on one knee. He had the ring held out, and, you know, she looked surprised and happy. Except she wasn't his girlfriend. She was a complete stranger. She was someone he had hired, paid to be in the photo on purpose for this little experiment. But when he posted the photo, he still got hundreds of likes from all of his friends. And no one pointed out, hey, who is that, by the way? I mean, I don't want to be judgmental, but, you know, who is that? His theory, which this experiment seems to support, was that for most people, clicking like is a fairly thoughtless action. Clicking like is a fairly thoughtless action. You know it's true. Now, here's a sad irony. Getting likes is a very valuable action for those who want it. Getting likes is a very valuable action for those who want it. And some have argued it's too much, it's too valuable. We all know what it's like to, you know, put something out there, a piece of art, a piece of work, a sermon, okay? We all know what it's like to put something out there, okay? And wait for a response. We know the anxiety of wondering how people will react. We know the rush of getting acknowledged. And then we know the letdown of people moving on. And then those questions of self-worth when we feel like they are now moving on to other people and other things. Why aren't you dwelling on the glories of my past? It can be an emotional roller coaster, at least for me, maybe for you too. And that is without social media. But with social media, the emotional roller coaster is now all the time, everywhere, and on hyperspeed. No wonder studies have shown that trying to get likes can be addictive, and it can have a significant impact on a person's mental health. Now, I want to be clear. This is not to say that all of our problems are with technology. Technology is an amplifier to what's already wrong with the human condition. And that is, we really highly value getting liked, but giving likes is a fairly thoughtless action. We highly value something, we really want to be seen by others, but in many cases, those others don't really care too much about seeing us. I see you. Sometimes the praise of people can be horribly fickle, fairly thoughtless, and dangerously addictive. That's what the praise of people is like. But that's not the only reason Jesus warns us to beware of being a pretender. In the rest of verse 1, he says this, why? For then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. You see, seeking to be seen by other people is not only not worth it, but there is a trade-off. There's a trade-off. The hypocrites who trumpet their generosity and stand up to pray and fast with disfigured faces, all in order to be seen by others, Jesus says over and over again that they have already received their reward. They've got the reward, right? They did it to be seen and praised by people, so that's what they get. They're seen and praised by people. And that's all they get. What they don't get is any reward from the Father. Now, as someone who likes to maximize my rewards, why the trade-off, Jesus? Why can't I be praised by people and praised by God? Maximize those rewards, right? Why the trade-off? Well, remember what the reward of God is. What was the reward of God? It's his blessing. It's his approval. If the reward that the hypocrites get is to be seen and praised and approved by people, then the reward that Jesus wants us to get is to be seen and praised and rewarded by God. And then remember what happens when we care about someone's blessing. What happens when we care about someone's blessing? We become shaped into the kind of person that someone wants us to be, right? Now here's the problem. people, I think this is a good thing, can't see into your heart. People can only see the surface. They can only see the actions. They can only see the things you say, which means that if we live for people's approval, then we become only our surface. We become only our exterior. We become only the pictures we post or the things that we say that we think people want to hear or the things that we do to hopefully impress other people, right? But on the inside, none of that is being formed. None of that is being shaped. It's just a bunch of muddled chaos. We become these fragile shells of confusion. Or worse, we become masks. We become pretenders. But that is not who Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to be not masked people or pretenders or surface only. He wants us to be solid. He wants us to be substantial. He wants to be true through and through, inside out, which is why he wants us to treasure most of all not the praise of people, but the approval of God, because God does see the heart. Jesus tells us, truly I say to you, God does see in secret. He sees what no one else can see. He sees who you really are on the inside. And so if you live for his approval, an approval that it shapes not just our outside, but also our inside, we will not be a surfacey kind of people. We will be a transformed people through and through, from the inside out. Now perhaps it makes sense why we cannot pursue both the praise of people and the approval of God. Because these two directions are shaping us in totally different ways. The praise of people, if you pursue it, will shape you into a fragile shell. But the praise of God will transform you from the inside out. They're two opposite directions. You can't have both of them. And why would you want both, right? Because God's approval is so much better than the praise of people. And in fact, you know what? The word approval is too weak. God's love is so much better. Remember, human approval, it's fickle, right? But God's love is faithful. Right? Human approval, I mean, we saw this, right? Click, next. It can be thoughtless, right? But God's love is so meaningful because he has complete knowledge of us. He has complete knowledge of us. He does see us all the time and everywhere. And while that might be a little scary, right, because there are parts of us that, if we're honest, are pretty ugly, we don't want anyone to see, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross proves that his love is still not deterred. Yes, he does see our sin. He does not ignore it. But that's precisely why he went to the cross, because he does see it and he wants to deal with it. He wants to atone for it. And that is, I mean, if you think about it, right? That is about as safe a love as you could ever get. A love that knows you through and through, warts and all, and yet still loves you to the fullest. You could never lose that kind of love. Human approval can be dangerously addictive, but God's love is powerfully freeing. Why? Because when you are safe in a love that you can never lose, you are finally free to not need the approval of people. You have all the love you need. We are finally free to not need the approval of people. We don't have to do or say certain things to make sure people still like us. Instead, we are finally free to do and say things to make sure we love them. When you care too much about people liking you, it's very hard to actually love them. So, here's what to beware. Beware pretending. Beware pretending to do things for God's approval when in your heart you really want to be doing things for people's approval. That's hypocrisy. But why to beware it? Because people's approval isn't worth it. But God's approval, God's love, is absolutely worth it. Here we come now to the other side of the solution. I said earlier that what we need to do is check our hearts, right? Beware of pretending. But that's only one side of the solution. Because if we only do that, then what's going to happen is we start navel-gazing. We fall into an incomplete introspection, right? We're always thinking about, what are my motivations? And if we do that, then all we're doing is we're replacing needing the approval of other people with needing our own self-approval. And in Jesus' eyes, That's just a replacing of idols. We're still needing the approval of people, right? Whether that's others or ourselves. His point then is that we should do things for God's approval. So yes, during times like confession and offering and communion, check your heart, look in. That's one side. But when it's time to stand and sing or sit and pray or time to go and encourage one another, that's when we look up. That's when we look to God. Don't just look in. See how great God's love is. See how faithful and meaningful and safe and powerfully freeing his approval is. And then focus on that. Focus yourself on him. Because the best way to break free of needing the approval of others is to see just how much in Christ you already have not just the approval of God, but the love of God. Focus on the one who loves you completely. Now, at this point, I usually close the sermon in prayer, but this week, during the time of offering, we're going to have a prayer sung for us. It's the Lord's Prayer. Christina is going to sing, and Sarah is going to accompany her on piano. And I invite you during this time to close your eyes and pray along with the song. And if this means that at some point the offering bag, you know, gets nudged because you didn't see it, that's okay. Do your thing. Let it pass. That's okay. But as you listen to the music and to the words, try to look in and try to look up. Let's now offer up our lives and our gifts to God.